Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner of the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to
get. Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. And down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper!
Holy shit, it's Viper!
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports! Aboard the program, I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, and I do believe the microphone is working tonight. It is about time. I cannot stand. I have a zero tolerance level for technical problems. I don't care what they are. I'm just one of those. However, we're on, and we're going to have a great show tonight. So, we've got a lot to talk about. The Masters. Trees are falling down. And had to suspend it again today because of bad weather. I mean, but Tiger, hey, 23rd year in a row. Ties a record. And I don't know who got the record. I couldn't find it. But I know they tied a record. Probably Nicholas or whatever, I would imagine. I don't know. I'm not a big golf fan, not a big golf guy. I do enjoy watching the Masters, though. I was hoping to watch it today, but it was suspended. I like the Saturday, Sunday, you know, when it counts. Like basketball, you know, you watch the last 5 minutes. That's all you need. We've got football. You know, I love the NFL, all the drama in the NFL in the offseason. I love it. I honestly, God, I can't get enough of it. Well, it looks like the GM of the Jets feels very confident that he's going to get Rodgers. Rodgers is going to be a Jet. You watch. Well, you know, Green Bay keeps screwing around, and who knows? The Jets are going to have to say, hey, guys, we got the draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. We're gonna need things going here. Let's get going. What are the Jets supposed to do? And let's say that they're trying to push Rodgers out to retire. Well, let's say Rodgers then says, "Okay, you guys are screwing around with me. I'm just gonna retire." Then he retires, and he's still under contract with Green Bay, so he can't then come back and play with the Jets, and the Jets are screwed. So, if I was a Jet general manager, you know, yeah, it's nice that you're coming out saying all that. But, I mean, are you saying that to try to, you know, put sugar on top of, you know, a pile of crap? I mean, who knows what the hell's going on? I mean, anything can happen. And NHL, by Seattle Kraken, clinched the playoff berth. Sophomore year, they do it the second year. And then we got Major League Baseball again. I don't want to be bitching about Major League Baseball. But that's the only thing I got to say about it right now. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, really complaining because there's not much you can do about it. But damn it, it breaks your heart. I mean, it breaks your heart. You know, the past time, there was nothing like, you know you're going to be there. You sit back. You relax. And you just enjoy the game, enjoy the entire afternoon. You don't need the game done in 30 minutes. You're taking all the mental aspect out of it. Now you can't show any signs. Oh, somebody might steal it. Well, that's their job. That's their job. That's what they do. And if you knew your job, you'd be doing the same to them. You're taking the whole mental aspect out of it. You're taking all the strategies out of it. I mean, the game is boring. There's no mental strategy. I mean, sometimes the pitcher, yeah, he's going to take a long time. It's just his strategy. Some guys like to work fast, some slow. Some like to mix it up. I mean, the game is, time should not be an issue. And that is the problem. Why does time have to be an issue? Oh, it's so long. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so long. Well, if it's so long for you, I mean, you probably shouldn't be watching the game. Or you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to go ahead and say that nobody has got a gun to your head and makes you go to the ballpark or makes you sit on the couch and watching the game on TV. Nobody has a gun to your head. If it's too long, you can turn the channel. You can get up, take a walk, read a book. I don't know. Something. Why does it have to be done that quick? I don't understand it. You're taking all the elements out of the game, all the strategy, all the whole mental aspect of the game is lost. The human element is lost. There's no strategies of going back and forth, figuring out who's doing what, and their base coach is rattling off stuff, and none of it means anything because he's taking his thing from somebody else, and they're all bouncing it around. Nobody knows who's doing what and what's doing what. You know, you're trying to take the other team off guard. Well, you can't do that anymore. Everybody just throw the ball quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's go. Move it, move it, move it. You know, I mean, like a Marine drill instructor, you know. Lee Ermey, you know. Move it, move it, move it. Come on. Let them play. Just let them play. If it takes 4 hours to do 9 innings, then so all right. So what? What? Time doesn't have anything to do with the game. I don't understand why it has to be a factor. Why does it have to be? What difference does it make? Well, it's so long. And I don't know. You have more important places to be? Well, you know. You can go there. I don't know where our crew's at tonight. Did they forget? Today's Saturday, right? Yeah, today's Saturday. 6 o'clock. Did we turn the clocks back and I didn't know? Hell, I don't know. Well, let's see what's going on here with the Masters. Let's see if they got the leaderboard up here yet. Want to find out some stuff. Come on, let's go. Doop 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 doop. Come on, where is it? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Masters. Historic battle awaits. All right, I can't pronounce that guy's name. I never could. Kopka, I think is how you pronounce it. Well, him and Rom are battling it out. Tomorrow, well, it looks like they're going to, I don't know if they're going to recontinue. I don't know what they're going to do. But I just want to see the leaderboard. Why don't you have that up here? Oh, here it is. So we got Kopka, I guess, Brooks. Okay. He's 13 under, and Rahm is 9 under. Well, hey, look. In one day, we've seen what can happen. When Tiger Woods, the last time he got the jacket, he was down by, I don't know how much he was down by. And he ended up winning the Masters. Oh, we got a crew member came on board. Okay, let me get this off over here. Let's bring him on. Oh, this looks like Seth, my good friend. Seth! My good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. Can you hear me? Seth, I got you on, Seth. I can hear me.
You got the Viper.
Oh, the Viper.
You got.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got the Viper.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the numbers down here, and I got them mixed up because I got the last four digits of your phone number, of each one of your phone numbers down on here. So I look down there, and I got it crisscrossed. I'm sorry, Viper, but welcome aboard. Yeah, I was just talking about getting into the Masters. We've got suspended a couple of times. One, did you see the tree? It fell down. And then today it got suspended with bad weather. But how do you pronounce that guy's name? Is it Koepka?
Brooks Koepka.
Koepka, yeah, Brooks. Koepka.
Yeah.
I always screw it up. And then when I look at it, I mean, it took me forever. I could say Favre, but when I read his name, then it just got me all screwed up, you know. But it'll take me a while. I'm terrible with names. Cat, knock it off. Then, he's at, you know, minus 13, and Rahm is at nine under. That's got to be a battle, you know, when they resume. So.
Totally. And it's funny, I was watching Brooks Koepka last week on the LIV event they were at in Orlando, and now, he's playing some pretty good golf right now. He seems to be really in command of his game, and obviously to lower your overall score in bad weather like they're having right now. I mean, he's got to be feeling really good about himself right now.
Hey, yeah. Well, you know, and that's what I was talking about before I noticed you and screwed your phone number up was. We all saw when, you know, and I know I hate to bring up Tiger, but we all saw how he was on Sunday, and he came back and tore it up. I mean, anything can happen that last day. Sunday is a miracle day, you know, but, and you know, I apologize to all of those that do celebrate Easter, I did not know it was tomorrow, honestly. After my mom passed, I mean, I don't know. I never knew holidays and that stuff until somebody had to tell me, and I didn't know it was this Sunday. So all of you that do celebrate, have a very, very happy Easter. I got a ham steak today. Had to go down to the store, and so it's going to be nice. I'm going to have a nice dinner. But and anyway, on with that. I'm trying to find out when they're going to come back. Did they resume yet, or did they cut it out for the whole day? That's what I thought.
I know it's suspended last I heard. I'm not sure what the plan is to come back.
Well, I can't seem to find anything, and that's what's bugging me here. It's still got the, you know, the times and the holes, but it doesn't have anything on when they're coming back. So, God forbid if they'd let you know when they're coming back. I mean, we won't want any of that, you know. It's only CBS Sports, and I'm on the, you know, homepage of the Masters. So, not that that matters. Well, anyway, I'm sure they're coming back tomorrow. So, and they'll probably maybe they'll finish up on Monday, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm reading articles and I can't see myself, but I heard something about Morikawa cheating.
Yes.
You remember that? What happened with that?
Okay, here's what happened. Now, we've all seen it when, you know, you're on the green. You want to pick the ball up and, you know, like move it around, whatever, and put it back. Well, he picked it up, and clearly he was trying to be kind of smooth about it, but clearly moved the ball at least a good inch and a half, maybe I think 2 inches, you know, depending on the angle that the camera was. But it was clearly, you know, he moved it. It was at least an inch from where it was, and then he took his marker and moved the marker up and put his hand in his pocket and acting all nonchalant. And, yeah, and the camera caught it. I was trying to find out more on what did they penalize him or anything like that, and I haven't been able to find anything. Have you heard?
I have not heard. So basically, he did a Judge Smales in Caddyshack where he kicks the ball out back in the fairway, but a little more subtle.
Yeah. Oh, that was great in Caddyshack. Oh man. But no, that. I mean, he clearly moved it. Now there was probably something there, like an obstruction of, I don't know, a twig or something, and he didn't want to have to, jump over or whatever. Or maybe he was just trying to cheat. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But clearly he moved the ball. But oh man, that's funny. So now, I mean, I think they got rid of, let's see if there's another story on it. But, they probably didn't catch it. But how do they not catch it when it's right there? I mean, they got judges, they've got cameras, they've got, like the NFL. How did you not see that was not a catch that clearly bounced?
Right.
Oh, no, the announcers go. And see, yeah, I didn't like with the Eagles, and I didn't like that. But, but I don't think it matters. I mean, where is he really in? Oh, no, he's actually five back. He's got a shot, actually. But Kupka's going to have to really screw up. I mean, it's hard to catch up eight. Can you catch up four? Yeah, you can catch up four. Catching up eight? Well, I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen. I mean, you get it in the dirt or the sand, you get it in the drink, Wind picks it up.
I think the bad weather favors leaders because everyone's playing below par golf, everyone's playing substandard golf because of the weather. And obviously the big thing is if you're already in the lead, then, you just don't take chances and you do your best with the bad situations you're in because, everyone
right.
playing behind you or ahead of you has got that same thing to deal with. So it's good to be in a lead in bad weather in these scenarios.
Well, again, catching up eight, if that cheating, I'm not saying that moving that ball is the reason if he does come back. But, people would be talking about it. But these guys, they move it around anyway all the time anyhow. I don't think they should be allowed to touch the damn thing at all, to be honest with you. You golf?
Well, you kind of have to. You've got to pick up your ball and move it out of the way of someone else's attempt. So
no, I know.
That's unavoidable.
What I'm saying is you got to go one at a time. But, I mean, that would take forever. But at least, you would. But I know. There's nothing you can do. But, I mean, they move it around all over the – what are you going to do? It's golf. Part of the game is the way it is, but I mean, if he's moving it clearly like a foot and nobody notices, that's going to be a problem. So no one cares. Not a big deal.
Right.
But I know your buddy, Tiger, he made the cut 23 years in a row. I thought he missed a couple of years when he was, injured. Didn't he miss a couple of years and then he got in an accident? Another car accident?
Unless they're counting it as in a row that he has played in the tournament. I mean, if you don't play in the tournament, you can't miss the cut.
Right, that's what I was getting at. Are they counting it? He tried out 23 times and he made the cut 23 times.
23 times. Yep. Yep.
Without, you know, missing one in between. So
right. Yeah,
they say it's a record. Who is it? Is it Nicholas?
Nicholas, yep.
Well, you know, I mean, that's still a pretty good feat. But, I mean, I thought he had retired. I really did. I mean, why is he still? But, I mean, hey, if he can make the cut, okay. But, So is this Kupka, is he Australian?
No, he's American.
Then who's the Australian? Is that Rom? I don't know these guys. I really don't.
I think Rom, I thought Rom was German.
Well, it is German.
I remember watching, I watched the on Netflix, the first swing documentary where they kind of go behind the scenes with golfers. And Brooks Koepka was one of the episodes last year. And so I thought, you know, that was pretty fascinating to, you know, to see how they prepare and the things they go through, the challenges mentally and emotionally and professionally. Oh, I'm sorry, Rom is Spanish. My fault. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, it's good to see Koepka, who is as an American golfer with a lot of promise, get back on track and, you know, kind of reestablish himself here. I mean, obviously there's a lot of controversy because he's made that move to the LIV league. And I'm sorry, I can't blame him for doing that. I mean, you get guaranteed money. So clearly, you know, he doesn't need to win to make his living. And he can relax and go play the Masters. You know, just kind of, hey, if I win, great. If I don't, fine. So it kind of takes the pressure off because I'm still going to get paid when I go back to the LIV. So maybe
so that's
Koepka him
you're
somewhere.
Talking about, right? Koepka you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, I thought that LIV was having problems, financial problems. It's still going?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, oh yeah, so I watched it last week. They do some pretty cool stuff. They've got like some sort of Doppler radar to kind of show the wind pockets when these guys are teeing off and approaching the green to show little wind pockets. They've got these graphics showing the putt line, you know, where you want to putt the ball toward, and as it just slows down speed, how the bend's going to break on the bank of the green and the angle
right,
of the
yeah,
green.
I've seen that.
I mean,
it
is pretty cool, and it's just a way to, you know, kind of in a 2D, no matter how high definition, in a 2D format. You know, you'll never get a feel for the break of the green. And a lot of people have said this that I knew in Georgia. I never went to the Masters. But they said it's nothing like you would think on TV. It is so much more hilly and more rolling, and I mean it's a hike.
Really?
Because you're going up and down hills. I mean we don't see that on TV. We see beautiful greens. We see beautiful, you know, fairways, trees, scenery's all there. But we don't see the rolling hills. You can't see that on TV. And so you know this little thing they're doing with the greens on the LIV network. Where they're showing, hey, this is the line that the ball is likely going to follow, and here's where they're trying to putt to. And I mean, it's really kind of cool, and it gives you a feel for, you know, hey, it looks like a straight line, but it really is not a straight line putt. It's there's a lot of break to it, and there's a lot of stuff that you've got to assess when you're putting the ball. And putting is never my forte, but
they call it the Masters for a reason, right? Because of the difficulty. I've heard that course is, even though they got some par threes, but it, you know, I guess it's really, you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you know,
totally.
Someone like me, oh my God, the numbers would be astronomical. So, but no,
yeah.
It is a beautiful
yeah.
course. And I live not too far from, the one Beth Page in New York, and I used to ride my bike up there. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous country, man. And they had a it was a big tournament, not the Masters. They call it a major. They had something there, and that's when Tiger Woods was young and doing, you know, his thing. And oh yeah, man. I mean, it wasn't that far from where I live. But like I said, I used to ride my bike up there all the time. Yeah, you can see the course. It's gorgeous. There's a whole bunch of trails up around there. So I do love golf courses. You know, I like to get a job to drive in the golf cart around. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. Check out the beautiful, you know. Wouldn't have to be a caddy. All I do is just drive the cart. You know, just drive the car wherever these, you know, rich old guys want to go. But see, in the professional, you can't do that. You got to walk, man. That's part of the game. And you're walking up and down those hills. Yeah, I can imagine. And you're doing that 4 days in a row. Say whatever you want to, but I mean, it may look like you're, you know, just taking a stick and hitting a ball, but no, I mean, 4 days in a row of doing that, yeah, that, you got to be in pretty good shape. You know what I'm saying? You can't be.
Yep.
You know, you may be looking, you know, like you got a beer belly or whatever, but you're still in shape. Look at Refrigerator Perry. That guy, as big as he was, could jump what, you know, on a you know, one of those folding, you know, tables that, you know, people set up from the ground, jump up on top of it. I mean, that guy was well over 300 pounds, you know.
Yep.
Well, I guess
conditioning. Well, and I think, you know, if anyone wants to see what these golfers go through, I mean, that first swing series on Netflix is a really educational. I mean, they're working out all the time. They're, you know, they're making sure they're in shape. They're making sure that, you know, their bodies are well balanced and functional, because, you know, you're doing a lot of repetitive motion, and they've got swing coaches, they've got putting coaches, they've got all the technology in the world to break down, you know, what they're doing with their mechanics. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people say sports is a game of inches, golf's a game of millimeters. That's how small the difference is between being good and being great. It's a game of millimeters. That's how precise and detailed golf is. And that's why I like playing it. You know, there was a day when I was getting pretty darn good at it, but you've got to be consistent. I mean, and it's small little changes that make a world of difference. And that's what makes what we're watching so impressive. I mean, they make it look easy. It is not easy. So.
Well, you know, nothing really is easy. And they, you know, a lot of people say, well, race car drivers, you know, they, all they do is just sit and drive. No, they, you know, you lose on average. You lose on average 10 to 11 pounds per race. Because you are just sweating.
Yep.
And 10 mm-hmm. pounds in 3.5 hours, 4 hours, that, it, you know, you know, you got to be in shape, man. You need a good heart. You need, you know, good breathing. You need good, I couldn't do it. I'm too fat and out of shape. There's no way. But that's why I enjoy sports, is because, God, I wish I could, but I've never had the ability to really, you know, be in the professional level. But I can appreciate what they're doing, because I'm very familiar. You know, you've done it at a certain level, so you know what it can take and what it, you know, what you need. And, yeah, these guys, all of these guys, I mean, like football anymore, I mean – what these guys go through, I mean, how fast it is and how hard they're hitting. Well, you got to keep up, man. You got to, you know, what do they call that? Survival of the fittest. hate to say it, but, you know, how it is.
Yep.
So.
Totally. Well,
go ahead.
What's kind of the agenda tonight other than the Masters? I mean, are we talking
NCAA
championships?
Football. We got my Seattle Kraken, which clinched the playoff berth. Second year in, the Kraken clinched it. So, I mean, hey, look. You know, my brother, they went up there a couple of times. And, you know, Seattle is that kind of a team, that kind of a place. Like when we got the Seahawks, you know, it took a little while. But once we got going, I mean, yeah, you know, cities are proud of their sports team, you know, and there's nothing, we need more of that. We need more pride in our sports teams. But people aren't proud in sports anymore because it's, you know, I'm not going to get into it. I promised myself I already bitched before you came on, and I said, you know, no bitching. I'm not going to bitch about Major League Baseball because, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And then I ended up bitching about it anyway. So, you know, I don't want to talk about the bad, but you can't reminisce and talk about the good old days because that, you know, so we can talk about other things. But, I like the fact that Seattle's got a hockey team. My mother was pissed when they got rid of the Sonics. My mother was a big basketball fan. And the place that I worked at, Vancouver Ford, where I worked at, they would give us, if you sold, you know, a certain car or you sold the number of cars, you would always get tickets to the Portland Trailblazers because our dealership sponsored the Trailblazers, and these guys would come to our dealership all the time, and we'd set up basketball things, and they'd be throwing, you know, Clifford, and all those guys from the Blazers would show up, and they would get, we'd give them a free car to drive around, and so we would talk to the guys and knew them, and it, you know, it was pretty cool, and so we'd get tickets, and I'd just give them to my mom because I'm not a big basketball fan. And my mom and little brother used to go all the time. So now we got, it looks like we got somebody. So hold on a sec. Let's find out. Oh, we do have a caller. I don't know who you are. So I'm going to read the last four digits of your number. And when I do, then you're going to be on. So if the last four digits of your phone number is 39-44, you're on the air. Welcome aboard, shipmate.
Hi, my name's Frank. I'm glad to be aboard. Captain. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we're talking about the Masters. We're talking about hockey. We're talking about football. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I'm a football coach, and so I know it's not football season. So I think we can all agree it's a bit depressing for all of us. Can I get an ahoy? If this is the
ahoy!
Captainship, yes.
Ahoy, my friend.
Okay, then, yes. So I always thought, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm a football coach, and it's really important to me. So I decided that I was going to take it a step further, and I was going to actually found an organization that helps inner-city children achieve bigger things in life, at-risk children. Can I get an ahoy?
Oh, you can definitely, most definitely get an ahoy. Right there. Well, let me ask you something. What metropolitan are you? You in New York or?
No, I'm actually in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, affiliated with Penn State University still.
Well, we have a coach on board here too, the Viper. He's a coach as well. So now, are you collegiate? You high school or?
No, yeah, I was collegiate. I was a very I had a mentor who's actually away at the moment, he is he's away at the moment, and I decided to make a foundation in his honor is what I decided to do.
Oh,
and,
well,
it's called the Jerry Sandusky.
Nice.
Yeah, it's called the Jerry Sandusky Foundation, and it's basically it's an organization that embodies the spirit of Jerry Sandusky and puts it to all the young individuals who are associated with our radio station. And I would like to officially announce that the Saturday Night Sports Show, Ahoy, is the official sponsor of the Jerry Sandusky Foundation.
All right.
I just wanted to thank you so much for your support and for your enthusiasm, because I think that your show embodies what Jerry Sandusky stands for inside and outside of prison.
Out of prison?
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, I mean, an innocent man is locked up here, and I think that, you know, it's a different topic for a different day. But,
all right. All of a sudden, it was going good there, Viper. Then what happened?
I'm not sure. Do you hear anything?
Well, not anymore, but, I mean, what happened with prison? We lost him, I guess. Something happened. But what was that about prison? And why do I know that name, Jerry Sandusky?
I could be wrong, but I think this is the guy that ended Joe Paterno's legacy at Penn State. Is this guy gone?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But
I almost think that might have been a prankster, because Jerry Sandusky
is. I thought
is,
so. It was a prankster too. I mean, I knew that name, and yeah. I can. Well, first of all, he's praising the show like it's, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know. And right when he said Jerry Sandusky, I was like, wait a minute, why do I know that name? I'm trying to think, and yeah, that was the guy who was raping the kids in the shower. That son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was.
He should have got the firing squad. Hell, I would have supplied not only the gun but the bullets. I would have supplied everything. I would have even paid my way to the prison to shoot the son of a bitch.
Yeah, not cool.
But, you know, you get pranksters to come on here. I mean, at first I thought, you know, but then that Jerry Sandusky, that's when the flag started going up. I was like, why do I know that name? You know? Ay. Well, anyway, well, I, you know, he's in his parents' basement now. He's in his underwear, you know. So the poor bastard needs something to do. You know, his video game broke, and I mean, who knows? Crackpots are everywhere. What are you going to do? That's the world.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, but...
Welcome back to Blog. Hey, I got... when Doc was on, yeah, I even had Howard Stern punk me once. I mean, hey, you get punked by Howard Stern. Yeah, you get pranked by Howard Stern, and you made it big time. So, you know, I feel kind of cool. But I thought he was somebody else, actually. So that's why I hung up on him. But
so did we want to talk about the last weekend's NC2A championships at all?
Yeah, there's, you know, again, what's up with the women's basketball with all the unsportsmanlike conduct? Ladies, come on, girls, come on. You know, I mean, they're slugging each other, and the other one, you know, they're taunting with the hand in the face. It's like, can you, you know, come on, why was the coach... not, you know, benching her ass. So you don't do it that way. You don't play that way. Well, we got another number with the same area code. So it's the same guy calling back thinking he's going to prank me twice. No, you ain't.
Is it a different last four?
Yeah. So same area code. So try again, dude. You know, I mean, unbelievable. But So now he hung up. It's like, oh, man, he got me. Damn it. Should your mom be calling you up to go to dinner? No, go ahead.
Well, obviously, you've got to be pretty impressed with what UConn did last weekend, topping off what I consider a pretty dominant tournament run. I mean, I don't think anyone was – I mean, I shut the game off at halftime because I knew it was over. I knew it was done. I mean, they were too good at both ends of the court, and they were dominant the entire tournament. Hats off to SDSU. I mean, great accomplishment for that school. And obviously FAU barely losing to SDSU in a last-minute buzzer beater. I mean, great basketball there. But good grief, UConn was just dominant.
And again, those buzzer beaters, I love those, you know. Especially in – I like it more on the collegiate level because – you know, the crowd is different. I remember watching the crowd in high school. I played in the band, so we had to go to all the games. Of course, the football games and the football fans are, you know, we had crowds. Everybody came to the high school. We used to go there. Mom used to take us when we were kids before we were in high school. Anybody went to it, and, you know, they were a lot of fun, and we had a lot of grass. People could hang out. Talk on the ground. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of room and a lot of fun. And but in college, you know, and you got a big game like this and you get a buzzer beater, you know, I mean, the electricity in the crowd, that's what I love, is that. And then there's nothing like in the Kingdom when Elway got sacked. I mean, the entire Kingdom just ignited. I mean, literally, we jumped in the air. It was beautiful. You know, that's what I love about, you know, sports like that. You know, it's too bad we don't have it that much anymore, but we still got, you know, glimmer of it. Again, I'm not going to bitch. I'm not going to complain. I can't do it. But but again, I don't want to talk too much about Dan Sportsman like that. You know, I'd rather talk about the, you know, the good. And didn't seem to have any problems with the boys. They seemed to, well, there was a couple of, you know, chest bumps and that kind of stuff. And hey, you know, but nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing came to fruition.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's a couple of things that have been bothering me about this all week long. And, wasn't sure if we're going to address it on the show, but I'm going to go ahead and address it because I think it needs to be addressed. You know, I mean, look, I've coached female athletes a long time, most of my career, and girls are definitely wired different. They definitely take stuff more personal, and, you know, they definitely are a lot more emotionally charged. It's got its pluses and minuses to that, but, you know, the thing that I can tell you that I don't like about women's basketball as a culture. You know, they're trying to turn the girls into guys, and that's not always a good thing. But the whole controversy at the end of the game, well, the fact is what happened with the LSU player is classless. I really don't care who started it, okay? You won the game. You finished it. You accomplished what you needed to accomplish. And at that point in time, I think that's where men and women are a little bit different. At that point in time, men will, you beat me. And I'm going to respect that because, you know, you got the better of me. And, you know, we're going to shake hands and we're going to say, hey, nice job. And we're going to move on. And, you know, and then we're going to work harder to get better next time. And I think that that's probably what was so unsettling about it. You know, like in hockey, for example, you play a 7-game series, you know, some team's got to win, some team's got to lose. At the end of the day, they all line up at center ice and they're in the handshake line and they all shake each other's hand. Okay. That's kind of how you envision sports is supposed to work. And
even boxing,
you know,
for
when
God's
it's all
sakes.
Said,
they hug each
exactly,
other.
Yeah,
after
boxing.
They beat the crap out of each other. I mean,
Right, and there's a certain professionalism about it, and that's what wasn't there. And when people used, oh, well, so-and-so did it first. Well, yeah, I'm going to go back to the classic movie Coach Carter, and I'm going to, and when his players, well, hey, they were trash-talking us, Coach. So you can't show a little bit of class and act like a champion? I mean, that's what he said. You know, do you have to dive into the gutter with because someone else does? No, you don't. And if you're justifying it by whatever happened with this Caitlin Clark before, I'm just like, okay, well, you just won the game. Show some class. Be better than that. And people are turning into a race thing. I don't care who does it. I mean, that's just crappy to do. I mean, if you want to do it once and walk away, that's fine. But you're stalking the other player. You're literally making sure that she sees you. If she doesn't see you, then you're going to walk into her line of vision.
She did it about, I was watching the video. She put her hand over her face about 100 times throughout the whole game. And the other girl just, you know, tried to keep her composure. And then the ball went her way, and she just barely kind of slapped it and away. And they give her a technical. And she's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, that clearly that was done deliberately. I didn't like that. That was hanky panky, man.
Well, the people are arguing that what the LSU player did was okay. Well, look, they're citing what happened. Oh, so and so did this before. She started it. You want to know what? You know, want to know who started it? Well, I'm gonna tell you who started it. And I wish Seth was here, because Seth and me, we used to play basketball, not like necessarily school ball, but playground, okay? And if you don't have a certain amount of melanin in your skin, you get absolutely no respect. None. And until you earn that respect, you are disrespected. And I'm telling you right now, if Caitlin Clark, I don't know her as a person, she could be an absolute wretched person. I have no idea. But I can tell you right now that the culture of basketball and the women's game doesn't surprise me one bit that she acts the way she does, because there's a certain entitlement with the game of basketball that if you're white, you can't play. Larry Bird got the same thing. Larry Bird got the same kind of eyebrow raise when he got to the NBA. I saw the whole Celtics, Lakers, 30 for 30. And it wasn't until he got in the NBA and then the other guys on the Celtics learned real quick he could play. And then they told their other African-American players around the league, that, dude, this guy's serious. He can play. And it's just this attitude that, you know, if you got to be from a certain race to get immediate respect, otherwise you get disrespected. If you want to say that Caitlin Clark started this, okay, well, when did she start? When was the actual starting point? Because I guarantee you that kid played all through school, all through AAU ball, and she got disrespected as a skinny white girl. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. And she got disrespected her entire career. And that she used that fuel to make herself make her probably one of the best players ever. And even Stephen A. Smith is like, hey, man, she's chucking it up from Steph Curry range. That's phenomenal. So even he recognizes her ability as a player. But I guarantee you there was a fuel of disrespect that she had to endure as she ascended the ranks in women's basketball. So if you're going to say that she started it, I guarantee you she didn't start it. It started years ago, playing AAU, playing on the club circuit, and playing in school ball, and getting disrespected time and time again. So you can't, this whole thing about she started, you can't go off of that. You can't go off the basis of who started what, because you'd have to go back years. Maybe well, her and Angel, what's-her-name, played in AAU against each other. Maybe this started 4 or 5 years ago in some gym in some corner, AAU corner of the universe. Maybe it started back then and we just didn't see it.
Well, here's
but the
what
problem
I don't
is
like.
You can't justify the behavior by who started it.
Well, here's another thing that I don't like, and I think we got Seth on here, but if you're repeating your same action, it doesn't really matter who started, who didn't. But if you're throughout the whole game, you're doing that, taunting the other player. Why the refs didn't, you know, call something like that? I know in football you can't even say anything anymore without a taunting call. And to me, I just thought maybe the coach should have shut her down. It shouldn't be tolerated, that kind of stuff. You're there to play a game. You don't need to do that. Football's a little bit different, more aggressive. So you know, you do need a little bit of trash talking back and forth. The actual overt taunting, no. That's what the NFL wants to get rid of. And no, you don't need that. But they went overboard with it. You know, like, you know, jumping over, that crap. You don't need that crap. But, you know, you...
Well, not, and especially not the end of the game.
Yeah. Or any time.
I mean, okay. You know, if you want to be, I mean, Larry Bird was notorious for this, but if you want to be, you know, taunting and whatever and trash talking during the game, that's one thing. But the game's over, the game's in hand. It's time to be a professional at that point in time. It's
yep.
time to have sportsmanship. And if she did it, before halftime, if she did it any other time, and acted the right way when the game was over, I don't think we'd be talking about it. But the fact is you rubbed it in. It's bad optics because you were on national TV, allegedly one of the most viewed women's games ever. Okay? It was at the end of the game, and you did it to a player that's probably going to be a generational player for women's basketball. She probably is. She might end up being Steph Curry or one of us, or Kobe or Michael. She might be that player. But you did that in the wrong venue, at the wrong time, in the wrong way, with the wrong attitude. At that point in time, you needed to be a gracious winner. You needed to be Barry Sanders, just handing the ball to the referee and not doing some stupid touchdown dance. That's what you needed to be in that moment in order to help you and help your team and help the game. And you didn't do it. She did something to someone that you knew three games earlier? That's stupid.
Well, it's obvious the maturity level is drastically reduced to where it used to be.
Yep.
That is clearly obvious. Seth, my good friend, let's find out what he has to say. Seth, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Hag Samiak, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show. But you're talking about unsportsmanship in the women's NCAA championship, what I'm gathering, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now forget about what Caitlin Clark did with her unsportsmanship when she obliterated people. She did some of these things that were hand gestures, whatever. I don't know. We're older people, but younger people have codes. She had codes. She did it to all these people. Now all of a sudden, she is going to get defeated. It is the NCAA championship game. Unbelievable, right?
You know, the whole thing is yeah, it doesn't matter how good of a player you are. I mean, you can't take away what your ability, you can't take away your stats, but you can take away your character. And, you know, you just don't like having that kind of, you know,
well,
character
no,
in
no,
sports.
And it's weird. I'm just trying to, like, make this realistic. In sports, when, like, my favorite basketball player was Bill Laimbeer. I modeled my game Bill Laimbeer. I averaged 4.5 fouls because 5 got you out of a game. I would hit you on the ground, and then as soon as you went on the ground, I would try to – help you up with my hand with a big smile on my face. It's how you emulate players. That's for sure.
Well, you know, we were.
Well, I guarantee you, Viper knows Bill Laimbeer. That's
a
different style
of
player.
And I think, you know, Bill Laimbeer still at the end of the game or end of a series, you know, he's still showing respect to the other players. I mean, once the game is over, the chess match is over, and, you know, we're going to be civil about it. But, at the end of the day.
Didn't he play you till the end, till the very end?
Oh, yeah.
And like
he played harder than the last second, yeah.
As an arch enemy, literally. And then when it was over, he was the most respectful person that said, hey, I will shake your hand. You beat me. And basketball, back in the day, used to be when you lost, the respective teams actually shake hands.
Yeah.
Now they'd be like fist bumps or whatever, but.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I guess both of the girls did it to each other. Well, again, you know, I mean, it used to be in high school, there was no, that's why you can't spike the football. Things were different. And if you did any of that stuff, you were, you know, you just didn't see it. Because if you did, you know, you were going to be thrown out of the game. And now it seems to be, you know, a part of it. It's accepted. Why? Well, because the player's really good, and, you know, we can't ruin, you know, anything we're going to make a lot of money off this kid. It's like, who cares? God.
You know, and
damn.
We're still talking about the women's basketball championship, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
At this point, when I heard someone try to make it racial, I was like, please. Are you kidding me? This
Stop.
Is competition beyond belief. And you have taken Iowa to be way higher up there. And you're going against an LSU team that was supposed to beat you and everybody else before this tournament started. Am I wrong?
I'm not sure.
Well,
LSU had to be one of the top-ranked teams regardless, besides being a number one team. And, you know, I was just getting there. But Iowa, what was number two? A second seed? Or were they lower than that?
I think so. No, I think they were two.
No, and they proved that they should be a number two. Caitlin Clark automatically made your team better. Period. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a Shaquille O'Neal with Stanley Roberts and LSU back in the day. Yeah, they're going to be there at the end, dude. Somewhere. Yeah.
Well, I guess neither one of them is going to be in the draft.
They're not old enough.
Well, they're not in the 2023 draft. Well, yeah, that's eligibility rules.
Right.
Well, that's good. I mean, they should do that with football. I don't like this drafting sophomores. You know, in the NFL, you got a guy, you know, he's going to come out, after his sophomore year, he doesn't have an education, he doesn't have anything, he breaks his leg, and then what? You know, well, it doesn't really matter. If you can play, you can play. And, you know, we've seen guys that can do it, and there are guys that can't.
No. And just going into basketball terms, we saw guys like Chris Webber and like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
Literally going out as soon as they could. You're done. And Chris Webber actually played, what, 1 year in college? But, yeah, Kobe and LeBron, they went from high school to professional basketball and were some of the best professional athletes in basketball that year.
Well, they were also at high schools that were heavily trained specifically for
it wasn't like a normal Texas high school football.
Yeah.
It's almost like Texas high school football. Friday Night Lights, right? Yeah, you're already there.
Yeah. And, you know, some of these high schools are, they're made specifically for. And there's nothing wrong with that. You still get a good education. And, you know, and if you're that good of a basketball player or football player or whatever, and you can do it at that age. I mean, we saw, you know, not much anymore, but, I mean, baseball, you know, a lot of guys came up right out of high school. Maybe spent a half a year in the minors and way up.
Well, you, I, and Viper also grew up in the day that they put Dexter Manley's that can't, he couldn't read. And he became a highly one of the best NFL players at his position. And he was automatically just put through a really bad school system, and he couldn't read.
Well, you know, so what? There's a lot of people that, you know, can't read, but, you know, been able to do, you know, things. Some people can't talk, but they're able to do things. You know, it's all, you know, it's in your mind. So, and you know, in sports, and Viper, I'm sure, will attest to it, and I'm sure you will too, Seth. I mean, you know, again, I, you know, quoting Yogi Berra, I mean, it's 90% mental and the other half is physical. And that's with anything in life. But I just don't like, you know, you don't want to see this in sports. Now, hockey's different. You expect them to fight. Football, okay, scruff it up a little bit. In baseball, you expect them to fight a little bit. Basketball, you know, really? I mean, come on. You know, stop. But, you know, again, it's, you know, like we talked about a number of weeks ago, again, the perception. Everybody has their own perception of what they want to see in a game. Now, baseball, everybody wants to see it over with in 30 minutes. So let's change it all. Yeah. So,
well, and you and I as purists, we already know. This is such horse BB.
It really is. Boring.
Dude, like, really? You save 10 minutes in the game? I'm average.
Not even that. It's like 3 minutes, and you're not doing anything, but you're taking all the mental aspect out of the game. You know, you're switching. You got signs going all over the place. You got mental things going. You know, the batter's trying to do this, and, you know, mental. You're taking the mental aspect completely out of the game. The human element is out. It's gone.
Did you see what happened accidentally in the game the other day? Was, I forget the Mets pitcher, right? And he was a Japanese guy or Asian guy. He threw his translation with the catcher, and they did this thing with the pitch count and whatever the pitch – you know, things that they have now. So he had to actually, instead of normally the catcher or the pitcher just getting the audio, it had to be both of them, and then had to be slightly translated. And he got destroyed because the other team heard out loud curveball, fastball. It was a major faux pas, dude. It was horrible. Like, he got raked, dude. like,
well, they
great.
Shouldn't be right. having that in the first place, and it kept falling out of the catcher's ear, kept having to put it. They shouldn't be having that anyway. No electronic devices, period. You're playing the game. Stop taking the elements out of the game. There's no fun anymore. You know, that mental part, it's a chess game.
Oh,
baseball
no,
is a
no,
chess
but
game.
Now I'll imagine here is a Japanese pitcher that a lot of people in the MLB is not really seeing, whatever, going to that storyline. And then you know it's a curveball. Like, it's been translated out loud that you can hear it as a hitter. It's a curveball. Oh, my goodness, dude. Yeah, he didn't even last one inning.
Well, look, I mean, that is ridiculous that you have that anyway. I'm sorry, but that is just absolutely, it is stupid. It is wrong. And again, I mean, that's what makes it so boring. I mean, the game is just, it's too quick. I don't like the pace. And I told myself I wasn't going to be bitching about baseball tonight. I promised. And the only thing I've been doing is bitching about it.
Well, we know Viper now really likes baseball, and I always knew that. I just didn't let it out. It's fine.
Oh, is that a motorcycle? What was that?
Harley.
Damn. Well, we were also talking a little bit about football. The general manager of the Jets is confident that Rodgers is going to be a Jet, but you know, there's other teams looking for things, and you know, the Jets could, if the Packers feel like screwing them over, if they're trying to force Rodgers to either quit, because he's not going to play another down in Green Bay, but if he retires, then he can't come back and play for the Jets. He's still under contract for Green Bay, so that's why the whole thing is getting screwed over. And I think Green Bay is doing that on purpose to either get as much as they can to get rid of Rodgers or have him just retire and they just move on. So it's kind of crappy, but it is business.
Is Viper still with us?
Yeah, I think
I am.
Okay, so in all honesty, with the Jets, with the teams they have assembled right now, you bring in Aaron Rodgers this year, and this year alone, I'm not talking about next year, after that, they have a chance at the Super Bowl, right? Or the AFC Championship.
They got a very good team. Yeah, they definitely could got a chance to win their division, at least. They have a chance. Absolutely.
And that team did not make the playoffs last year was kind of crazy. And it only happened literally the last week. Otherwise, the Jets were a playoffs team, right? Or am I wrong? Did they make it?
No.
They might have been the eighth. I'm not sure.
Hey, look, they came close, and then they had to bring back what's his name, and of course they started losing again.
Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson. They had to bring him back because their other guy, which I
yeah,
can't
Mike
believe,
White.
Mike White.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Well, they already traded him. They traded. He's gone. The Jets don't have anybody but Wilson.
No, and you have to trade Mike White. Got to get whatever you can out of him if you think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers. Because you're already like, no one is going to give you the money for Zach Wilson right now. So, but at least that guy can sit back there and watch Aaron Rodgers and say, this is how it's supposed to be done. And if you're going to stay on this team and be productive afterwards, you can do it this way.
Well, that's why I didn't understand. They should have got just released Wilson and kept Mike White, have him tutelage under Rodgers. But, no, they got rid of Mike White. So, look, if they don't get a quarterback. They got stuck with Wilson, and is going to get them absolutely nowhere. And that team is too good. They deserve somebody better than Zach Wilson. Because that team, and you're right, Seth, that is going to be a very, very tough football team if, you know, Rodgers could ever get over there.
No, and here's the thing with Rodgers, as late as he is in his career, he's still one of the elites, no matter what. He can throw together one year, but you're going to the AFC. The NFC, dude, you salvage and scavenged and whatever other words you want to know, you're always going to be in the top 3-5 teams. Always is Aaron Rodgers for the Packers. In the AFC, with the Jets, with that team, you still don't know if you're going to make the playoffs. And that's an honest reaction.
Well, there's still a lot of things that's going to happen, and some trades going to be for the draft. That's still, you know, up in the air. We got, 2.5 weeks? And, you know, these teams, they've got to get set before the draft, because the Jets would like to get their quarterback situated so they can draft accordingly. You see what I'm saying? And –
oh, yeah, no, and if you have Aaron Rodgers for 1 year, then you have to build it upon that 1 year, and you have
just
to make
that
team
year.
For that 1 year, and that's it. You know, well, that guy can play 2-3, he can still stay there, that's irrelevant. You're building it for the 1 year, just like the Rams did with Stafford. I know it sounded stupid, and they did all this.
No, that's
draft
exactly
picks,
what they did.
Whatever. And you know what? They won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl.
Well, hey, look. You know, I mean, if a push comes to shove, I mean, you still got Brady. He's still got a year left in him. He's still got a year left in the tank. Bring his ass back to New York.
I'd rather bring back George Wanda.
Or, you know, Vinny Testaverde, bring him back.
Vinny and the Jets.
Oh, well, that was great. I mean, he was retired for, wasn't he retired for, what, 2 years? He was retired for quite a while, and then they had to bring him back because they had nobody. They lost. They went through, like, 4 or 5 quarterbacks, and they had nobody. Oh, they bring back Vinny. Oh, that was beautiful. That was great. But, you know, the Jets have always been kind of a novelty. You know, beginning with Joe Namath, who was more of a novelty than he was really, you know.
Well, here's the thing, Skeet.
I don't mean novelty in a bad
way. I know. I don't want to build up Giants or Jets football. Half my family's from New York. So I can tell you this stuff. I've watched this stuff. I've lived this stuff. Sauce Gardner taking a DB that early in the draft, which is phenomenal. He's like the modern-day Deion Sanders. Then you have a coach like Robert Saleh. Seriously? That team is going places, and Zach Wilson is not a good fit there at all. He's not a part of that program to win. No.
Well, I saw it on draft day, and you can pick out, you can tell by, you can look in their eyes, and you can see draft day, whether they're really going to be something or not. You can see how they look, how they react. You can see it in their eyes. Because some of them are really, really nervous, you know, because it is kind of a, you know, a thing. But some of them have too much hype, and they know deep down inside they can't live up to all the hype, and it comes out in their eyes. And, you know, now Kyler Murray, same way, you saw that. Zach Wilson, you saw that. However, Trevor, now, you know, now that I look back, Trevor Lawrence, even though I thought he was, you know, going to be nothing, but I remember now when he was drafted, he had a lot more. I just, for whatever reason, was on the hate wagon. But, you know, this Trevor Lawrence, I really like this kid, and I think he came up as a junior. And
you got to realize they lost to Kansas City this year in the playoffs.
Show on.
And he lost by, like, what, less than a touchdown. So they're right there. And forget about the one guy that didn't catch the 6-yard pass. Let's go past that. The cool thing about him was at the end, he went into the tunnel at a time. The team had to walk by him. And every one of them, he gave him a high five.
We lost Viper. Hopefully he calls back.
That's a leader, though.
Absolutely. But his poise, his composure on and off the field, and what I really like about the Jaguars, I never really was a big fan, but you can't help but enjoy watching a team play as a team, and that team does. They play as a team, and look, they're going to win more than they're going to lose. It's just the way it is.
And the crazy thing about that team is all young, dominant, full of whatever.
Seriously. They are.
They're going to be one of these teams that are going to be involved in the playoffs every single year. I don't know if they're the old school, like, San Diego Chargers or whatever, but no, the Jaguars are there every year in the playoffs. Doesn't matter whether they win their division or if they actually just get a wild card spot.
Ended the season last year on a 5-game winning streak, and they ended up being 9-8. So, you know, it wasn't a losing season. So they really, really improved, and they did win a playoff game. So now, I mean, they've got to be double digits. If they go 3 more wins than what they did last year. Just 3 more wins. And they probably could have had those 3 wins during the season. They could have had that. But, you know, needless to say, sometimes it happens when you're young. You make stupid mistakes and things happen. But this year, 3 more wins, and that's 12. That can get you... You know, that could get you places.
What's so really weird about T-Law as a quarterback is that people have always criticized him. And this guy has stepped up and won every major award, period. He's only lacking now in the NFL.
Well, I don't see Tennessee being a real big threat. I don't really see Indianapolis being a big threat. And we all know Houston, I don't care, number one draft pick, whatever. Okay, let's say you win 3 more games than you won last year. You're at 6. So...
No, and what really sucks for Indianapolis is here is an organization that was set up to go to AFC Championship game, whether they went to Super Bowls or not, AFC Championship game. And when Andrew Luck screwed them over, and we talked about it on the show.
Yep.
I was like, dude, they're going to suck for at least 10 years because the money, the time, that's it in him. And yard did this with the defense, or like you built yourself a real a championship team. It was an amazing team.
Well, actually, you know what,
and
though?
Without
I
a
can't
quarterback
find...
of that stature, your team is screwed.
Well, I blame the Colts, and here's why. Because they gave him an extension while he was still on the DL, was still injured. And they gave him a multi-bazillion dollar contract when he was still injured, and he never really played. That was the Colts' fault. They should have said, hey, kid, we want to bring you back, but, you know, we need to see if you can play. We'll give you a one-year deal, you know, maybe two, but we're not going to a four-year multi, you know, Brazilian dollar deal.
Right.
And then you retire, you know. I mean, that was ridiculous on the Colts. You know, they would have been better off if they would have, you know, tried to trade him.
Oh,
to give
no,
him the opportunity.
And you knew, like, even as a Raiders fan back in the day, when they gave Jamarcus Russell X amount of guaranteed money, you were like, this is the worst deal that has ever happened, and it's going to hurt the Raiders for 5 years. And you knew it, and it did.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, they guaranteed money.
Well, look, I mean, with Seattle, Geno Smith is guaranteed $50 million. That's $50 million for a backup quarterback. That is ridiculous.
Dude, that is the worst thing I've ever seen since sliced bread, American style. Yeah. What the F is going on? No, Geno Smith, that
Come
type
on.
Of money per year, Geno Smith.
Yeah, 3 year
we're not
deal.
We're not talking Tom Brady. We're not talking Aaron Rodgers. We're not talking Joe Burrow. We're not talking anything even close to any of that. Geno Smith.
Well, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, now the Patriots have been, looks like, shopping Mac Jones. And when Mac Jones went out, Zappy came in. A lot of the guys were accustomed to him and act like him a lot better than Jones. And I think Jones has lost the locker room. I really do. And I think
it was shown last year overall, no matter what, forget about record. Zappy kind of came in there and he gave him some hope.
He gave fire. He had that X factor that they need, you know, to win. Mac Jones, for whatever reason, doesn't have it. And I think he just needs to be on another team. I would love to see him come to Seattle. We'll give you Geno Smith. Be, you know, his backup. But Mac Jones, I think it's a maturity level. Obviously, maybe a new, you know, a little geography change might do some good, or he just might end up just being a backup. But, you know, something tells me even if they can't get rid of Jones, I think Zappy is going to probably make, he's going to be the starter next year.
And he is, and it's going to be really weird because everybody thought Mac Jones, including myself.
So did I. I thought, yeah.
The answer. Yeah, no. I mean, seriously, he had everything going for him.
Everything.
1 year later, disarray.
What a difference
like,
a year
he
makes.
Did not have control of that team.
Nothing.
It was horrible. Yeah. You don't even. But Zappy? Zappy was amazing.
He just came in and well, looked like Purdy did. I mean, Purdy came in. I mean, Mr. Irrelevant, the last guy in the draft, that nobody even thought would even make a team.
Well,
and he comes
well,
off
well,
comes off the
well,
box. Look at that.
Okay. First of all, like we start to talk about stories like this. Forget about Jerry Rice coming from Mississippi Valley State. But then you have to think about Kurt Warner. At one time was a bagger or a grocery
yep.
store clerk. And he became, at one point, a Super Bowl MVP. Please
yes, he
don't
did.
Tell me about discrepancy.
It, you know, I mean, it, I love those stories, man. They're great. And look, he did get injured. But you know what I liked about that, Kib? They're in the title game. They're getting their butts whooped because everybody got injured. He had to come back into the game because their other guy got too injured. He couldn't throw the ball. And he's still out there playing with no chance whatsoever, really no shot of really, you know, coming back. And he still was out there, giving it everything that he had left in him. Now, that to me right there, I really – that said something to me. I really like that, and I really like the San Francisco 49ers of what they did. That's why I gave them an A and three pluses because – how do you – you are completely – I mean, your team is – nobody's healthy. And you just next guy up, whatever you could do, and you just keep winning football games. And you go to the title game with nobody? Oh, I mean, you know, I mean, that to me right there, just – that's grit. That's old-style football, you know? Where every team played that way.
Mm.
Not anymore.
I actually, when you're talking about old school football, I saw just literally today a clip where Earl Gamble comes up into the end zone and Jack Tatum crushes him, dude. Crushes him. And Earl Campbell still rolls over him and goes in the end zone.
Man, that Earl Campbell.
Unbelievable.
That was
unbelievable.
A big, big, big man. I mean, his thighs were like 32 inches.
He was the old Bo Jackson. He doesn't have all of Bo Jackson's stuff that Bo had. But he was that big that he would look for you to hit you before you hit him. I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, those guys, they don't come around very often. And when they do, they're special, you know?
Oh, no. I know. And it's so sad because if people have never realized that Bo Jackson was not only one of the best baseball players out there at his position in the outfield. In football, he was one of the best running backs ever, period. Done.
That guy just was, I mean, there are just some guys that are just very athletic and can play anything. You know, Jackie Robinson played a lot of stuff. I mean, even Deion Sanders, believe it, you know, he wasn't that bad of a baseball player. He was actually pretty good.
You know, and Michael Jordan, he played some minor league ball.
Yeah, he tried to anyway. Yeah.
I know, I just want to throw that in there.
But, I mean, it happened very often that you can get a guy that can do all that at the professional level and be as good as they are. And, you know, I mean, Bo Jackson, I mean, it was all too good to be true. And I, you know, he played too much. And I think that's probably why maybe he got hurt because he, you know. But, hey, look, from the time that he played, please. I mean, it was a joy to watch. You knew when he was playing, you were going to see something. You were going to see something good. Something was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Something good was going to happen. And yeah, that's why people show up to the ballpark. That's why they tune in.
Oh, no, and it was so weird. I was forced to be a Detroit Lions fan for so long. And for years, and when I say years, 10 years, people were so grateful and said thank you because of Barry Sanders. They knew that they watched the greatest running back ever.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
He could have.
Like, I was freaked out.
We got an echo. What's going on here? We lost it now. Okay, that's good. But I mean, Barry Sanders could have. He could have ran for mayor, and he would have won hands down.
Uh-huh.
Are you there?
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
No. Skeet, this is Den, and this is our baseball guru.
Den,
who's your baseball guru? Me? No, not anymore. I don't even know what's going on.
Well, nobody knows what's going on with baseball because nothing's going on. It's boring. They're taking all the elements out of the game.
I kind of like the new rules.
I hate them. Every one of them. They're boring. It's boring. There's no element of sign stealing and the mental part, you know, and going back and forth.
Well,
and
all right, you're saying, you're going off on that part of it, but I'll say on the no shifting, at least it puts back shortstops and second basemen. They're able to take their shit, you know, they can. You know, go behind the bag and get something like Alan Trammell used to.
I don't mind the shift, and you know, I mean, but it doesn't happen, you know, that often. But you know, that's part of the game. You got to hit them where they ain't. And so, if your team is going to line up a certain way, it's up to you as the batter to hit it in a different direction. And if you can't do it, then, you know, I mean, you might want to find something else. But, I mean, that's the whole point as a batter. Hit him where he is.
But, like they used to, like Ted Williams, they used to, like how you would think of the biggest left-handed hitter now, how they moved everyone over. They did that to Ted Williams in the 1940s, and
sure.
He still hit 400.
That's right. Because he didn't, you know, I mean, he did his job.
He still hit 406, and then he went and flew planes and got shot down. Motherfucker's John Wayne.
Well, he was. I mean, he went twice, man.
Yeah.
World War II and Korea.
6 years of his prime to the wars. That man. He hit 521 home runs. Still in the major league.
Are you talking about Ted Williams?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't he also sacrifice time in World War II and the Korean War?
That's what we're talking about.
I'm just saying he did it in two wars.
Yeah, that's what we're
and
talking
this
about.
That guy was the best of the best.
I've seen projections if he wouldn't have gone to the wars, like he would have hit 701 home runs. He wouldn't
well, he
have quite
missed,
got to base. He would have hit 700, though.
Well, no. I mean,
he lost 6 years of his prime.
No. He wasn't that much.
Yes, it was.
No, because when he came in later in World War II, and it was 2 years, and then the one in Korea. I think he only missed a season and a half.
You're right.
He's right about Korea, but he did lose 3 seasons in World War II. It's more in World War II.
The war was
he lost 41 to 45. He was a Marine. The motherfucker was a Marine.
He was
a Marine pilot.
I know what he was.
Yeah, Danny, watch it.
Oh, sorry.
He was a Marine pilot.
The war only went, it was only 3.5 years long, and he didn't get into it until, you know, after
he got in right away. He was a Marine pilot, and he went right away during the first part, yes. And he went from 41 to 45, got out after that.
The war didn't even get started until, I know my history, dude, seriously.
Yeah, well, it started in 39, but we weren't in it.
Well, we didn't
get
into
it until
41. 42.
Well, actually, it started in 1931 in Africa with the Italian. But then we go into the Pacific Theater, and then we're also into, like, 1928,
1929. But that's the thing. It's like, dude, no, but this guy was a pilot in the he was a Marine pilot in the Pacific Theater.
Yeah.
From 42 to 45.
He was really upset when they brought him back.
He was a BA. He was a BA, dude.
No, he was.
He got shot down twice. Like, that's the thing. Like, he is John Wayne. When people talk about, oh, John Wayne's this big American hero, they're talking about Chad Williams. Like, that's the real John Wayne.
He really is, dude.
Like, he's a fucking... I'm sorry for swearing. I didn't mean to do that. He is the Marine pilot that everyone talks about. Like, he's the American hero. He's John Wayne.
Are you sure he got shot down? I don't think he ever got shot down.
Shot down twice. He got shot down in Korea, too. He went, and that's the thing. He went back when he was in Korea, and he went and got shot down again, and he went and played. He played until 1958. He was an old man, and he hit, 29 home runs in his last season when he was 43 years old or so. Like, what a baseball player, dude. Like, it was 1958. The guy was an old man. Like, you see Ted Williams in 1941.
I mean, literally, when you talk about Ted Williams, you have to say Ty Cobb. You have to say Pete Rose. You have to say...
You have to say
these guys that no matter what, they were the best ever at whatever, you know.
I'll give you Ty Cobb. Don't bring me Pete Rose in that because get out of here. He couldn't hit for power at all.
Neither was Ty Cobb.
Yeah, okay.
Could be if he wanted to be.
Yeah.
Pete Rose could be if he wanted to be.
That was a different era. But Ty Cobb could have. He did it. And he even proved
he
it.
He could have
right?
if he wanted to.
Skip those.
But.
Skip knows
well, look
story.
At Derek Jeter.
Skip,
he didn't
tell the story Skip, when he put his hands together.
No, Derek Jeter could hit for power if he wanted to, but he didn't. He wanted to get hit.
Give me a break. Derek Jeter couldn't hit for power if he tried.
He did. Not very often, but when he wanted to, sure he did. But
no.
His job was to get hits. Pete Rose's job was to get hits. A-Rod should have played shortstop
for the Yankees. I'm sorry. A-Rod should have been playing shortstop. He was a better shortstop defensively. A-Rod was better than Jeter defensively.
But really, how much more defensive could you really realistically need? I mean, very few balls went past Derek Jeter. I mean, not enough to make a difference. Not enough to make
because
a real
he played
difference.
On the best team in the league.
Well,
but if you have to say argumentatively, the best shortstop in Yankee history, which has the most championships and so forth and so on,
is it Phil Rizzuto?
It was the best shortstop
Scooter?
Ever, dude.
Scooter?
What?
Is it Phil Rizzuto?
No, you know this. It's Derek Jeter.
Oh, is it? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I think Rizzuto won more than Jeter won.
No.
The best shortstop for the Yankees, period, everything.
No, I thought you were talking about who won more World Series. I'm pretty sure Phil Rizzuto won more World Series than Derek Jeter did.
Yeah, but I know. You won on a technicality, Danny. F you.
But no, I would never say that Phil Rizzuto was a better shortstop than Derek Jeter, because Phil Rizzuto was 5'5". Good God.
Well, the game was completely different back then. It wasn't.
But that was the 50s. I mean, it wasn't that different.
And, well, it was. And shortstops weren't. They were mainly for defense. No. Not really the offense.
So if you're going to say that, A-Rod is the better shortstop because he's 6'4", and he can range way more than
Jeter. No, he's
better
at third base, dude. It was
no,
Derek
not at all.
At shortstop.
You know what?
And at third, yeah.
You know that's not true. You know that's not true. Like, the only reason they put him at third base is because Derek Jeter was Derek Jeter.
And you made him as your third baseman, dude.
Yeah,
come
but on. If you were doing it based on ability, A-Rod would have been the shortstop. Because he's 6'4", 220 pounds. He can move, and he can move so quick. And did you ever watch, like, at Seattle? He played for Seattle for 10 years. The motherfucker was amazing.
Easy, dude.
Like, it didn't just go unnoticed. He was amazing.
Watch the language, Denny.
Oh, sorry. He was amazing. No, he was an amazing shortstop. A-Rod was a way better defensive shortstop than Derek Jeter would ever dream to be. Not even close.
I don't know how you could really, you know, put one really better. I mean, look at the balls that was hit to Derek Jeter and how many of them went through him. I mean, once you get to a certain level, it doesn't really, you know, you can't get really
more
than that.
The game
you're at that
to
level.
See it,
look, no.
The only way to see it is you got to watch
Derek
the
Jeter.
Game.
You, well, very
you
few
gotta
balls
watch
went
the
through
game.
Derek Jeter. And it doesn't matter if he's 5'2".
A lot of balls went through Derek Jeter. A lot.
That you're saying
dude,
that,
you have
that
no
all
idea.
These balls went through Derek Jeter, that A-Rod would have gotten it rather than Derek Jeter.
Oh, he would have gotten it.
Oh,
oh,
please.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to see the actual evidence of that one. No. No.
Yeah,
me too.
You're just going on, we can all just go on what we've seen. But the evidence is there. The evidence is always there. A-Rod was a much better shortstop. And Cal Ripken was better than both of them. Cal Ripken was a better shortstop than both of them.
Well, it doesn't really matter. If you are playing shortstop, whatever, however tall you are, and nothing gets through you or very little gets through you, it doesn't really matter what size you are. You're good.
Oh, a lot got through Derek Jeter. That's the thing. It's like there's 162 games a year, and a lot got through Derek Jeter.
I'm talking the balls that got through Derek Jeter that A-Rod would have
in the playoffs or whatever. Like it's like whatever.
No
what
way.
Are you like? Nobody can actually.
No.
What you saw it? You can see it. The stats are there. The guy, he was not a very good shortstop. He's not a good defensive.
Not
shortstop.
A good shortstop.
A-Rod was better than Jeter, and Cal Ripken was better than both of them.
Wow, Derek Jeter was a pretty good shortstop,
like,
man.
Cal Ripken fan, and I have honestly say Derek Jeter was the best.
We're just talking defensive shortstops. Cal Ripken's the best of the three.
But to say Derek Jeter was not a good shortstop, you can't say that.
He's not. He was not a good defensive shortstop. He was a great hitter. I'll never deny that. The guy had 3,400 hits. Like, how am I going to argue that?
Not a good defensive shortstop.
No, he's not a good defensive shortstop.
Well, I don't know.
Not a good
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know about that one.
But this is like, this gets like, there's, this is, this well, goes on in the Curvy Enthusiasm with
New
Larry
York
David,
Yankees,
too.
And he's got five rings on his hand. I mean, he couldn't have been that bad of a shortstop.
You're right about
shortstop.
That. Hey, I never argued his pedigree. The guy is a fucking great, he's a Hall of Famer. One of the greatest hitters I've ever seen. Yeah, he's a great number one, you know. He was a captain of a five championship team. I'm not going to argue that. That's what Derek Jeter was. And I'm not going to say he's the greatest. I'm not going to blow smoke up his ass about being a great defensive
shortstop. Yeah, but once you get to a certain level, you're just, you're there. You're at the top. And
no,
Derek Jeter, when he played,
there's certain people that are better than you.
Slow down. When you get to a certain level, and when Derek Jeter played, he played at the very top level of all of his peers.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. But it doesn't mean that he's the best shortstop.
There's no way to go who's better than Webb because these guys aren't playing with each other in the different eras. You can't compare. Everybody tries to compare, but you can't.
No, I'm saying the guy who was playing next to him, the guy who was playing next to him, A-Rod, should have been playing shortstop. That's what I'm saying.
Because
they played on the same team. They won World Series on the same team. A-Rod should have been playing shortstop, and Derek Jeter should have been probably moved to left field. But they would have never done that because he was the captain.
Well, I don't know. It seemed to work. I mean, the Yankees won a lot of games with him in shortstop. So, you know, they had good pitching and played as a team. Like, that's how teams win. They got to play as a team. You can have the greatest players in the world, but if they can't play as a team,
I agree.
You ain't winning nothing.
I don't disagree with that. You're right about that.
No, but I always think it's one of these weird things in the dynamics of sports that we always say, hey, what did this guy do at the end? This is Charles Barkley, never won an NBA championship.
He never won shit.
And all of a sudden, here is Derek Jeter. He has five World Series rings, right? That's an accomplishment that you can't even...
But it's because he played shortstop for the Yankees.
Dan Marino, good luck with that. You know, blah, blah. Yeah, five. Yeah, dude, you are one of the best ever. One of the best ever.
Hey, look,
that's a good point. That's a good point. I got your Dan Marino point is a very good point.
Roger Clemens would have never won a World Series if he didn't come over to the Yankees. Because he certainly, you know.
Well, didn't he do it with the Blue Jays?
Oh, wait a minute.
No, he never won a World Series with them.
I think he came over afterwards.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he never did.
No, he only won it when he only even got into the playoffs with the Yankees until he left the Red Sox. He won a couple of Cy Youngs with the Blue Jays, but no playoffs. No playoffs.
But,
playoffs?
But like Justin Verlander, dude. Like Justin Verlander. Like the motherfucker won two World Series with the Astros.
Control your language, man.
Sorry. Justin Verlander won two World Series with the Houston Astros. He won the Cy Young last year with a 1.75 ERA and won it.
He's in age, too.
He's 39 years old.
Well, look at Nolan Ryan. He only had that one World Series with his rookie year with the Mets, and they traded him right away. And look, he's got seven no-hitters. He never had a perfect game, but
Cy
he's
Young.
Never gotten a Cy Young. No Cy Youngs.
Never
that
won a
amazing.
Cy Young.
That is ridiculous. That is insanity. And he got beat out by, who's that Oriole? The Oriole. They went to broadcasting.
Jim Palmer? Jim Palmer?
Yeah, he got beat up by Jim Palmer, and I think that's when didn't he win 30 games, Nolan Ryan? It was that season. He had a phenomenal season.
Last person to win 30 games was Denny McClain.
Denny McClain, yeah. But he won. It was a crazy season. It was like 20-some wins or something, and it was – I know he also had the most strikeouts. He had all these records.
Well, he always had the most strikeouts.
No, but, I mean, he had a record. It was that season he had – I mean, it was just a phenomenal – I mean, hands down, you would have given him the Cy Young. You would have given it.
Well,
to him.
I think the whole thing is, how did Nolan Ryan never win a Cy Young? That's the whole thing.
How does that never happen?
And for whatever reason. And the crazy thing is, if you really think about Nolan Ryan besides anything else that you're really ever going to talk about, is you're talking about the guy that could first pitch 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, he was the first guy to do it.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, you know.
They all do it now.
No, this guy was the original.
And he can throw well over 200 pitches and still make his next start.
Well, that's the thing. It's like he would pitch 300 innings. He's right, yeah. Your buddy's right. He could pitch
200. And 200 no, I'm talking. He could pitch 200 pitches in a game. He'll go into extras. He'll pitch over 200 pitches in a game.
He would pitch 300 innings in a year.
Sure, absolutely. He was a workhorse.
Like, he'd pitch three – like, Mickey Lolich pitched – like, I think the last guy that pitched 350 innings was Mickey Lolich in 1972. And then, it just started going down from there. And, guys would, guys like Tom Seaver and Steve Carlton and stuff. Like Steve Carlton was freaking amazing. Like, that guy was nasty. Like, he was the left-handed, like, he was Randy Johnson before Randy Johnson, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There was a lot of nasty guys, man. And the uglier that you are, that's what made Randy Johnson even more intimidating, because he had that long hair, and he was ugly, and he was tall.
Yeah, he's 6'10", and I'm sorry, like, that guy.
He killed the bird.
I mean,
I love that.
That was spring
training, but yeah. It happened.
No, I know. It was, that poor thing. That was it. But, I mean, hey, look, I mean, you got a guy that ugly, that tall, and, giving you that evil eye. He did have an evil eye, and good pitchers have an evil eye. But then you got the strategy of, a Maddox. I'm going to throw this about 60 miles an hour. You ain't going to hit it. But it's coming.
Yeah,
here it is.
No. I agree.
Good
like
luck.
That's. I'm starting to agree with you more there. Greg Maddux on my staff because he was just so precise. But the first person I'm putting on my staff is Randy Johnson in my lifetime. Because I was born in 1980. I'd have to put
Nolan. I remember when he got that record, man. It was on front cover of Sports Illustrated.
I'm not putting Nolan Ryan on my side.
Oh, yeah.
He's just too wild. He's too wild.
Well,
Randy
he was
Johnson.
Wild at the beginning, and then he got – well, Randy Johnson was wild at the beginning, too. He came up with the X-Files.
He was, but what – are you giving me peak Randy Johnson and peak – if it's
no,
peak Randy Johnson
I'm giving
peak
you a peak
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, no, I'm taking –
well,
I'm
he
taking
was
– peak Randy
Nolan
Johnson
Ryan was wild
over peak Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan
– I'm taking
Nolan
peak
Ryan
Randy
was,
Johnson
no,
over
you
peak
don't understand.
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan was wild deliberately. That was done deliberately.
Yes,
Nolan Ryan
I,
knew exactly
really
what he was
I
doing.
Saw,
that was intimidation.
I saw Nolan Ryan, yeah, and I saw that. I saw Nolan when he was, kind of in his 30s. Like, he was on Houston and then Texas. That's when I saw him. I saw him beat the shit out of Robin Ventura. That was amazing.
Well, that whole thing, we only got about a couple minutes left, but that whole thing with Ventura, he had to do it.
Yeah.
Because the team had said, if they, you know, so he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. And, you know, otherwise the team would have never forgiven him. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And he didn't expect no one running to headlock him. And then bam, bam, bam.
Well, that poor bastard. That poor bastard. I feel bad for Robin Ventura on that one because he didn't want to do it.
Well, he had to. It was, you know, it was one of those things that
right.
if Nolan
you're
Ryan
right.
hits anybody in this team again, you charge the mound. Well, see, that's how the game used to be played. You did that, you know, the other – they settled it on the field, and they let the players
– Yeah.
And now –
But
no,
you're right. You're totally right about that. You
I
had to charge the mound. You had – it was his obligation to charge the mound.
It's, you know, it's – Sometimes a manager will get thrown out of the game. You can argue.
Yeah.
Hey, that's done deliberate. But you can't argue with the umpires anymore. Oh. Anyway, I want to thank everybody coming on. Thanks, Dan. And thanks, Viper. I don't know what happened to him. Seth, thank you very
much.
Sorry
for swearing.
We had a caller thanking him. He was a tricky boy and then tried to call back. But that happens. So we just get rid of you. So. Everybody, thanks again for listening. We'll see you back here Saturday night at 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.